Well, amen. Let me say what an honor and a privilege it is for me to be with you this morning to bring God's Word to you. I would love to be with you for a different reason, but I'm honored to be here, and I definitely am praying for your pastor and his family, especially his daughter in this time, just praying that she does well and is doing well. So thank you for allowing me the privilege to be here this morning. How many of you know, I believe it was A.W. Tozer who said that the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Amen. How many of you know that? Amen? It's the Christian life is not for wimps. Now, if you're going to live out the life that God's called us to live, it's not for the faint at heart. But let me say before we really jump into the message, what a blessing this worship was this morning. Amen? Thank God for your worship team. And I don't mean to single anyone out, but this brother on the drums, man, I was enjoying that. Amen? Amen. Thank you, brother, for using your talent for the Lord. I appreciate it. Appreciate all of you so much. Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, that is the classic passage on Christian warfare, if you will. And the title of my message this morning is The Christian's Battle Plan. Our battle plan. You know, God doesn't just send us out into battle without a plan. But it's His plan, and we need to follow His plan for the battle. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. When you find your place, I want to ask you, in honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning, would you please stand with me? Ephesians 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, I'm reading out of the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible Translation. He says, finally, be strengthened in the Lord and by His vast power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. And in every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day, for the privilege to be in your house again. God, for the privilege to sing praise and worship to you. And God, the privilege to open up your word and hear your word. And I pray today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us this morning and would do a work among us. And Lord, that you and you alone would be honored and would be glorified this morning. And we ask these things in the name that is above every other name, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to be respectful of your time this morning. I haven't preached in a while. I could probably preach for 4 hours, but you probably don't want me to do that, and so I'm not going to do that, I promise you. I will have you out in a good time this morning. So if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. Amen? So if you say amen and I don't have to prompt you, we're going to be all right this morning. I want to think about the Christian's battle plan. You know, no one goes into a battle, into a war, into a fight without a plan. You don't just march out to a fight. You have a plan set forth that you want to follow. And listen, as we see what's going on in our country today, well, how many of you, I've noticed that, I guess your pastor's been teaching in 1 Peter. What an incredible book for this time we're living in. Because Peter starts off by saying what? you're strangers here. As the old song says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. And I, for one, am glad I'm just passing through. And as crazy as things are in our world with the race relations, the coronavirus, you name it, Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. Now, I believe that. That's not just cliche. I believe the Word of God has the answer for everything that we face. So I want us to think about our battle plan as Christians, as we understand we're in a battle. You know, there are some things we need to know before we can put into practice our battle plan. Number one, we need to know who our ally is. We need to know who's on our side. And according to what Paul says in verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord. So our ally in this fight, in this spiritual battle that we face, is none other than the Lord God Himself. And you can't have a better ally than Him. Because no one can stand against Him. He has no rivals and He has no equals. And it may not look like He's in control, but I'm telling you, He is 100% in control this morning. Doesn't matter what it looks like. You know, why is all this happening? Why is God allowing this to happen? Because we live in a fallen world, and ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, the world has been going mad. And it's going to continue that way till Jesus comes again. But while we are here, and by the way, let me say this. When we think about eternal life, you don't wait to get to heaven to enjoy eternal life. You ought to be enjoying it now. So see, I'm not waiting to die or for the rapture, for God to call me home, for Jesus to come again before I enjoy what God has given me. Because according to Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says He has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So I have everything I need, regardless of what's going on. I need to know my ally. And the Bible says, a favorite verse of many, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the key to that verse is not that I can do all things. The key is through Christ. It's all about Him. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, Paul said this. He said, and He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, before I can realize the power of Christ in me, I must first come to the end of me, to the end of myself. And Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong, because it is not my strength, but it is the strength of God through Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, listen to what it says, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen, be strong in the Lord. We must in this battle, in this life we live, Christian, we must know who our ally is. And it's great to have brothers and sisters in Christ that we know we can call on to pray. But guess what? They're not always going to be here. I had a tremendous blessing of having two dads. My biological mother passed away when I was 17 months old. So my aunt and uncle raised me. It wasn't that my dad didn't want me and my brother. It was that he just couldn't do it. He had to work, and there was no way he could do it. So we went to live with my aunt and uncle, who are not aunt and uncle, but mom and dad. And the interesting thing is, my biological mom and my aunt were sisters. My biological dad and my uncle were brothers. Brothers married sisters. So I had two dads. And my dad who raised me was probably the godliest man I've ever known. And I think I wouldn't be what I am today if that wouldn't happen. But my dad passed away on February 3rd of 2015. He had dementia. And when he died, I was in the room. Grace was in the room with us, my brothers, my mom. I picked up that Gideon Bible that was in that room, and I opened it, 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, death, where is your sting? See, because death has no sting for the child of God. My biological dad passed away on February 27th, some 3 weeks later, after my dad passed away. So they're gone. I don't have them to look to or to talk to. I've had brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone on, who are godly men and women. But the Lord is with me. And He always will be. And I'm so thankful to know my ally. But not only do we need to know our ally, and I need to move quickly here, but we need to know our adversary. Because how many of you know we have an adversary? You're going through 1 Peter 5:8 says what? That the devil is roaming to and fro around this earth seeking someone to devour. You remember the story of Job? Oh, Job, remember? There's God, and it says the angels, the children of God have come to present themselves before God, and Satan standing there with him. And God says, Satan, where have you come from? And he says, from roaming to and fro about the earth. And he's still doing that. That's what he's still doing. We need to know we have an adversary. And we need to know, listen to what Paul says in verse 11. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, he says, for our struggle is not, or your translation may say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. You see, he says, your problem is not that person that aggravates you so much. You see, don't address the fruit of what you see. You need to get down to the root. Because if you never address the real problem, you'll never have victory in this battle, because you always think someone else or something else is your enemy, and they're not. I heard a guy say, in fact, recently, there was a guy had a conversation with another pastor of a different denomination. I won't call his name or the denomination, but somehow we got to talking about this coronavirus thing, and do we think of this part of the end times and God coming, and he said this. He said, I don't believe that. He said, in fact, as far as the devil is concerned, he said, I believe the devil is bound right now. And I said, well, brother, I'm going to disagree with that. I said, because if the devil is bound right now, he's got the longest chain I've ever seen. I mean, who's causing all this mess if he's bound? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. E.V. Hill, the late great preacher, black preacher, that just a great man of God. He's going on to be with the Lord now, but he told a story one time. He said, I have two wives. He said, my first wife is in heaven, and my second wife is with me. He said, my first wife asked about one question every month. My second wife asked about one question every minute, and we don't always get along. He said, I called my first wife baby, I called my second wife Sugar. He said, one particular time we had been arguing, and I said, baby, and she said, you mean Sugar baby. And he said, we go to bed, we got this big bed, and she sleeps right here. He said, but she was clinging all the way to her side of the bed. I said, now Sugar, come get in your spot. She said, no, I'm fine. He said, now, this ain't your fault and this ain't my fault. She said, well, if it's not your fault and it's not my fault, whose fault is it? He said, it's that great big demon on your side of the bed. He said, she come and got in her spot. And she said, why is he on my side of the bed? But his point was that the real battle you and I face as Christians is not with other people. Now that does not excuse when someone does wrong. That's not at all what I'm implying. But we need to get down to the root of the matter and understand that we have an adversary and he is none other than the devil himself. One of the greatest passages of Scripture, and you may want to write it down and go back and read it. We don't have time to really read it. On spiritual warfare that really gives a picture of the battle that we don't even see going on is in Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's by the brook. He's had a vision and he's troubled and he fasts and he prays for an answer to the vision, for an interpretation. 21 days later, the angel shows up, taps him on the shoulder, and says, Daniel, from the very moment you prayed for an answer, I was sent to give you the interpretation. Well, now, wait a minute. So the very moment he prays, God dispatches an angel to give the answer, and it takes him 21 days to get there? What do you do? Take the scenic route? But he tells Daniel, he says, but the prince of Persia, which is another name for Satan, withstood me for 21 days. And it wasn't until Michael the archangel came and freed me up, and now here I am to give the answer. What I'm saying is, there's a lot that goes on that you and I can't see. That's why we had better know who our ally is. We'd better know who our adversary is. And we need to know our armor. Because God has given us an armor to put on. Notice he begins to tell us about this armor in verse 13. But he does tell us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. But verse 13, notice what he says. He says, for this reason, because we're wrestling against the devil and his minions, for this reason, take up the whole armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. You know, I've heard people say before, well, I'm going out to meet the devil. You go ahead. I'm just going to stand back and watch. Because the Bible doesn't say go out to meet him. You know what it says to do? It says stand. Stand your ground. But you cannot stand your ground if you do not have the battle or the armor on. And notice what he tells us our armor is. Now remember, Paul writes the letter to the church of Ephesians from prison. He's in prison. And so I imagine you've probably heard this before, but I imagine he's looking at that soldier guarding him and he's noticing his outfit. And he begins to write. And he says to the Christians at Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit says to us this morning in verse 14, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist. Put on the belt of truth. John 8:32, Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. You see, as a Christian, we know the truth and we have the truth because Jesus himself is the truth. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and like, put on the truth. You see, why do we need the truth? Listen, there's a lot of false doctrine and error that's going on in the church today and going on in the world, but we must put on the belt of truth, the truth of the Word of God this morning, so that we will recognize when error comes. And one thing you notice, when Paul is looking at the Roman soldier and he sees his outfit, he sees that belt, and he notices something about that belt, what you're going to notice, and we'll say this, is this, because the next piece he says, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate was tucked into that belt. You see, do I really have any righteousness apart from the truth of what God's Word says? You see, put on the belt of truth, and then he says, and then put on the breastplate of righteousness. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. One translation says, they shall be filled. They shall be complete. Listen, there's a lot of people that are incomplete today. There's a lot of people who are not satisfied today. And it is because they are striving to find their satisfaction in something or someone other than Jesus Christ. Amen? You must understand that everything you need as a child of God is found in Jesus Christ. We sang the song, You're the air I breathe. You are my everything. That's where we must come to understand in this battle. We have an ally, we have an adversary, and I am no match for him and you are no match for him, but he is no match for my ally. You see, you know what Romans 8 says? It says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And the word really is supra conqueror. And it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. I mean, I think sometimes as Christians we get the idea that we're down by 2 points, we need a field goal with 1 second left. But according to that, we are more than conquerors. We are supra conquerors, not on our own, through Him who loved us, through Christ. You see, He defeated the devil. You see, the war has already been won, but the battle still needs to be fought. And that's what happened. See, when Christ died on the cross, He paid the penalty for my sin. He took care of the penalty. But when He rose from the dead, He took care of the power of sin over me. You see the difference? The atonement, the atoning work of Christ on the cross, that was the payment for my sin. The penalty was taken care of. But when He rose again, that was, as one preacher said, that was the receipt saying God received what He did on the cross. Now He's alive and He took care of the power of sin over me. And you see, we need to know we have an ally, we have an adversary, we have an armor. Put on the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. I said that on the belt of truth, that it's all about Jesus Christ, because Christ is the truth. He is the truth, but He is also the righteousness. You know, the Bible says that you and I, as children of God, we have the righteousness of Christ. And He is, the Bible calls Him, the righteous one. Because Romans 3:10 tells us, there is none righteous, not even one. Therefore, my righteousness, according to Isaiah 64:6, is nothing but a filthy garment. But yet when I come and I receive what Christ has done for me at the cross, and now the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within me, now I have received His righteousness. So now when God looks at me, He doesn't see me, but He sees His Son in me. You see the difference? E.V. Hill, I mentioned him earlier. He said, one time he said, my position in Christ is that I am holy. My condition is, I'm trying. You see there? You see, the Bible talks about, it's amazing when you get into the Bible and you get into what it says about the believer, and we have our position already complete. But yet sometimes we look at our condition and we think, wait a minute, my condition doesn't match my position over here. For example, in Romans 8, it also says, Paul said, you have been justified and you have been glorified. Wait a minute. I haven't been glorified yet. I haven't received that. I hope I ain't going to look like this when I get to heaven. Amen. Don't say amen to that. But anyway, I hope, you know, this isn't it. I hope that when I get to heaven, I understand the Bible says that all things are going to be made new. I'm going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But yet He says, I've already been glorified. Because you see, once I received Christ as a 12-year-old boy, Ephesians 1:3. I have received every spiritual blessing. I may not realize all of them yet, but I have them. They're in my bank account. And guess what? Doesn't matter what happens to the stock market, that bank account's not going to run up. Amen? It's going to stack. Because my inheritance is in heaven reserved for me. You got to know your armor. Then he talks about, and we need to move on. In the next verse, he talks about the shoes of peace. Notice what he says in verse 15, and have your feet, my translation says, sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace, and Jesus Christ Himself is our peace. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The shoes of peace. Someone asked, what is peace? Well, peace is not the absence of trials. Peace is the presence of God. And there was a song that came out several years ago. I don't remember the guy's name that sang it. But in the song he said this. He said, sometimes He calms the storm, but sometimes He calms His child. Sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. You ever notice that? He just calms you in the middle of it. The shoes of peace. The gospel of peace. But then he says, in our next verse, he says, and above everything else, in verse 16, above everything else, in every situation, take up the shield of faith. Why? Because with the shield of faith, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. Can I ask you something this morning, Christian? Do you have a life verse, or maybe there's, you might have more than one. It's hard for me to just say, well, I've got one. You know, there are several verses that mean a lot to me, have meant something to me down through the years. One of my favorite is 1 Thessalonians 5:24, which simply just says this, faithful is He who calls you, and He will bring it to pass. And when God's called you to something, it is not your responsibility to bring it to pass. It's His. But it is your responsibility to take up the shield of faith and trust Him. It is my responsibility to have faith in Him. Here's what I say is true about everyone in this room, and I don't know you, but everyone in this room has faith this morning. The thing that makes the difference is the object of your faith. So what do you have? See, even the atheist has faith. Now, he'll say he doesn't, but he does. It's a misplaced faith. You see, faith in anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ is no good. You must have your faith in Him, in the one and only person who grants the victory, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because the one who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. 1 John 5:4 said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Above everything, take up the shield of faith. And at the end of the day, if you really want to boil down the one requirement for the child of God, the one requirement that I have and the one requirement that you have is that we live by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, if you only walk by what you see, if you only live by what you see, you're in trouble. Because what I see going on today, it does not give me much hope. But my hope's not in the government or this world. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And my Bible says, and yours does too, in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we have been born again to a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I'm telling you, my Savior is alive. And He's coming again. Who's ready? Amen. You know, and when I think about that, am I ready for Him to come again? And there, on one hand, yes, I'm ready. But I'm going to be honest, on another hand, I'm not ready. Now, what do I mean by that? Because I've got loved ones who aren't ready. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've got loved ones that if the Lord raptured us out of here this morning, they ain't going. So in that sense, I'm not ready. For myself, I'm ready. But for them, I'm not. And God loves everybody. And God wants everybody to be saved. And that's what the Bible says. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. The final piece of the armor He gives us is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. That's our covering. That's our protection. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." Let me ask you something this morning. Do you believe in the eternal security of the believer? Now, I believe it. I don't believe it because I'm a Baptist. I believe it because I'm a Christian. I believe it because it's in the Bible. If all it was a Baptist doctrine, I hope you won't run me out of here for saying this, but we need to get rid of it. It needs to be a Bible doctrine. If it's not a Bible doctrine, it doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't mean much. But see, I believe the Bible teaches clearly that if you have truly been saved, you cannot lose that salvation. Because here's the reality. I'm not holding on to Him. He's holding on to me. It's kind of thinking about old Noah in the ark when God told Noah to build that ark. What the chances are you think Noah would have survived if God would have told Noah, "Okay, Noah, build this ark. Now I want you to put 8 pigs on the outside of that ark, and you and Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives, grab onto one of them pigs and hold on with all you might." Now, who honestly thinks they'd been still holding on after 40 days and nights of rain? And nobody. They wouldn't have made it. And Noah may have fallen many times in the ark, but he never fell out of it. And I have fallen many times in Christ, but I have never fallen out of Christ. The helmet of salvation, my protection. I thank God I'm saved this morning. Amen. Then we need to know our ally, the Lord. We need to know our adversary, the devil. We need to know our armor, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. We need to know our artillery. We do have an offensive weapon. He said the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And see, when the Roman soldier, when Paul said that sword, he's thinking of that double-edged sword that was used for close-in fighting. Hand-to-hand combat, literally. And it was a double-edged sword. It cut both ways, going in and coming out. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Listen, you and I have a tremendous offensive weapon at our disposal. We need to use it. The best example we have is in Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Bible said He fasted for 40 days and nights, and He was hungry. And the devil came to Him and said, "Hey, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones to bread?" Because he knew he was hungry. And what did Jesus say? He said, "It is written," the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, "it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Okay? So Satan takes Him then up to the temple and he says, "Tell you what, Jesus, it is written now." We need to hear that. Satan quoted scripture too. It is written that he'll give his angels charge over you, and you won't, lest you dash your foot against a stone. They won't even let you hit your foot against stone. So prove that and jump off this temple. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But what Satan didn't do was quote the rest of that scripture, which I believe was Psalm 93, which says that he will crush the serpent under his feet. Amen. Then he takes him to the mountain so they could see far and wide. And he says, tell you what, Jesus, he said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give all this to you. Did he not know it was his anyway? I don't know, maybe he didn't know. But he said, if you just bow down and worship me, and I'll give all of this to you, Jesus. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. It says the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him. Vance Havner said it this way. He said, if Jesus could defeat the devil with three verses out of Deuteronomy, we ought to be able to defeat him with the whole Bible. Amen? Listen, you and I have a great arsenal at our disposal. We need to use it. And I'm going to say this. You need to spend time in the Word of God for yourself every single day. If all you ever get out of the Word of God is what you hear when you come to this place, you're not getting what God has for you. You need to spend time with Him because there's a battle raging. And you need to be able to wield the sword that God has given to you. That's the artillery that we have. And let me share this verse with you in Hebrews 4:12. Many of you know this. For the Word of God is alive, it is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We need to know our ally, Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself. We need to know our adversary, the devil. We need to know our armor, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. We need to know our artillery, our offensive weapon, the Word of God. But then we need to know the application of the battle plan. Because listen, just because I have the offensive weapon, just because I have the armor on, does not mean I've won the battle. It just means I'm ready to fight. Football team would never go out to battle without their uniform on. But just because they suit up, they still got to go out and play the game. And you and I still have to go out and fight. So what is the application of this battle plan? Well, look at verse 18 of chapter 6. Paul writes this. He says in verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. James 5:16 said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I heard about a Sunday school class of first and second graders. They were writing a letter to a missionary in Africa. And the teacher told them, now look, he's busy. He's not going to be able to write you back. So just know, you're not going to get anything back from him, but just write him a letter. We want to encourage him. So they're writing him. One little girl wrote, said, dear Brother Brown, I just wanted you to know I'm praying for you, and I am not expecting an answer. Now, how many of us pray that way? We pray, but we don't expect an answer. Acts chapter 12. The church is praying for Peter. He's in prison. And all of a sudden, here comes a knock at the door. And a little girl, Rhoda, hears. And she says, it's Peter. And they said, you're crazy. Peter's not here. He's in prison. How many of us pray that way? It's our prayers never get above the ceiling. That's not what we're aiming for. You see, I don't need my prayers to get above the ceiling because if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, then He's right here in the room with me. What's the application? What is the application? Where's, you know, man your battle station. What is the application? Can I show you the application? Can I just show you? You get down here and you cry out to God. And oh God, help me to have that belt of truth on today. Help me, God, to be holy as you're holy. God, help me today to walk in the peace that you've given me. God, help me today. Above everything, that I'll walk by faith and not by sight. God, help me today, Lord, that I'll realize that you have saved me and I am protected. And God, help me to use your word as you would have me to use it in this fight that I'm in. As we get ready to close, I want to share with you a story that some of you may know about this show. I don't know how many of you maybe remember the show. Some of you won't because you're too young, but from the 80s, it was called The Greatest American Hero. Anybody remember that show? Man? The Greatest American Hero, it was this guy, they found this suit, but the language it was in was, it was like an alien language, so they couldn't read it. And when he'd go flying through the air, he looked like a wounded duck. And he'd always save the day, but it was always an accident. He'd go flying and he couldn't control his landing, and he'd usually land on top of the bad guys. Or he'd land on something that would shoot out and catch the bad guys. He always was victorious, but it was always an accident. Can I tell you this morning, if you and I are going to be victorious, it will never be an accident. Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, seek the Lord while He may be found. If you seek Him with all your heart, the Bible says, you will find Him. And I want to tell you folks, we are entrenched in a battle this morning. It's a battle of darkness and light, of good and bad, and we've already been guaranteed victory. But we must put our armor on. We must understand who our ally is and who our adversary is, and our armor and our offensive weapon, our artillery. And we must understand the application. We pray. We pray. You've probably heard someone say before, man, I'm too busy to pray. Well, I like what Charles Stanley said. He said, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. You're never too... Listen, you can pray driving down the road. Just keep your eyes open when you do. You can pray if you have a tractor, you have a farm, you're on your tractor. You can pray wherever, man. Wherever you are. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You can pray wherever you are. You just be in an attitude of prayer and always be praying and understand we already have been given the victory. This morning, as we have our invitation, here's what I want to do this morning. This was primarily a message for the church.